Okay, so you have to just let me know exactly what line you want replaced.
I emailed this all to you.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Why don't we open up your inbox and I can show you that you probably got the email.
Or we could just do it now.
But you shouldn't forget that your job is really great and you normally love it, and that's a really cool job.
That is true. Are you high right now? You are? Are you really?
Yeah, what? You can't tell?
No, I can't tell at all.
I'm a profession now.
You're not friends with her, okay? I know you think you are, but Jamie Kirkland and you are not friends.
See, Daryl, to me, a friend is a friend. That's the bottom line. A friend is a friend. I don't care about fame. I don't care about race.
No, all right. And you know another thing? This D-Money shit, every time I come into a room, you introduce me as D-Money.
It's your screen name!
I made that screen name when I was in seventh grade, man.
Baby, listen to me. Some people are just meant to be in your life to teach you things. And when that's done, you gotta move on.
I'm telling you, nothing happened.
Have you ever hung out with her and not told me?
Look, being a guy isn't always easy, okay? There's... All right. That's not the approach I want to take.
No.
It's like you're the only person who mentioned it.
7 pounds.
Who's on it again?
Will Smith.
Oh, it's a Will Smith.
Yeah.
Okay.
7 pounds, one of the best movies ever made, man. I'm telling
one
you.
One of the best movies ever made.
I swear to God, Casablanca and 7 pounds. What?
That's the canon.
Welcome to Film Wax Radio, the independent film talk show. Every week, we're visited by filmmakers, actors, journalists, programmers, and others to sit down and chat about the state of independent film. Daniel Schechter was born in Queens, New York. He wrote and produced the feature The Big Bad Swim, which was at the Tribeca Film Festival in 2006, and later wrote and directed Goodbye Baby, which premiered at Slamdance. Dan's new film, Sporting Characters, is about best friends Nick, played by Alex Karpovsky of Girls, and Daryl, co-writer Tariq Lowe, who are New Yorkers, film editors, hired to salvage a botched comedy from a manic director, played by the one and only Kevin Corrigan, who has gone AWOL. But what starts as a simple job quickly sends their relationships with their significant others and each other reeling. Amidst trouble with his fiancée, played by the lovely Sophia Dekal, Nick finds himself falling for the film's flirtatious ingenue, played by Arielle Kebble. Daryl, meanwhile, struggles to focus on his editing work in between fights with his tempestuous girlfriend. With real humor and heart, Supporting Characters offers a sharp, knowing take on life and love in the big city. Supporting Characters will be on digital channels and on cable as of January 23rd and is in theaters specifically at the Cinema Village in New York City on Friday, January 25th. Dan will hopefully talk to us all about that, as well as his next project that he's attached to, which is an adaptation of an Elmore Leonard novel. So we'll learn all about that and more with our guest, Daniel Schechter. Welcome, Dan Schechter, to Film Wax Radio.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally were able to pull this off.
Yeah, we met in person. I mean, I don't know if you recall.
I do.
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, right? No. Yes, for Richard Sandler, I totally remember it, because, first of all, Jennifer was there, Jennifer Prediger, and she was great. It was great to see her. Also, just a couple of days before, I had on Alexander Poe and Orner. And they were singing your praises. I know Orner certainly was. I think it was like the... And then when I ran into you, it all sort of, you know, just sort of solidified in my mind. I'm like, well, this is a sign.
It is a small, small world.
Yeah. But it was like, okay, I need to have this guy on. And, you know, and so that's the backstory for those who are listening. But I did see Supporting Characters last spring at Tribeca.
I did not know that. That's nice to hear. Did you just randomly buy a ticket? Did you know anybody in it?
Oh, yeah, I do. Well, I know a couple of people in the film, but I had a press pass, and I made it my business to see the movie, though I wasn't familiar with your work up to that point. But I know Alex and I know Sophie Dekal. Both have been on this show. But I just sort of gotten to know them both through, you know, circles. And so when I saw that this movie was part of Tribeca, I made it, you know, like I said, my point to see it.
Well, thank you kindly.
You're welcome. And Kevin Corrigan, by the way, who's also in the film, plays the director of the film that Alex and Tariq, who is his co-star, they're editors on a film. The director is played by Kevin Corrigan. And I had, part of my film series, I had shown a film that he was in. He came out to Brooklyn, and he was there for the Q&A, and oh my goodness, that was a fun night.
He can be really on in a Q&A. Kevin Corrigan, for those who don't know, is sort of an actor you've probably seen in at least 10 movies, like The Departed and Pineapple Express and things from Goodfellas and Walking and Talking, and he's just one of my favorite actors of all time, and I've been lucky to have him in every film I've ever directed.
Right. Well, how did you meet him, and how did that relationship come about?
My previous film, the four supporting characters, is called Goodbye Baby, and I made that in 2006, and that was just a movie that had a probably beyond what I should have had healthy budget. And Kevin was just one of those guys we offered a role to, and for some reason they said yes. It was about stand-up comedy, and I think Kevin did the movie for the same reason that I did, that we both kind of vicariously and safely wanted to be stand-up comics in an environment where we knew the audiences, at least the extras in the movie, would laugh.
Was he funny on the set, though? Because he kind of...
He was very funny, but also very endearing. You know, I remember the first time, I was very nervous to meet him, and I didn't meet him until production. We just offered it, and he said yes, and then I went to go to this holding area where he was alone, and I wanted to kind of introduce myself and bring him over to set, and he was just sort of sleeping on the couch, kind of in a fetal position with his hands pressed together in between his thighs, and he just looked so vulnerable and sweet, and then he woke up, and he was just a very gentle and funny and charming guy to talk to.
You wanted to hold him, right, and rock him at that
moment? I did, but unfortunately,
that impulse,
the film wouldn't shoot itself.
Right, yeah. But, well, that's great. And then how did you also come to meet, or cast, I should say, Alex Karpovsky, now that he's a big-time actor on Girls? A lot of people know who he is.
Supporting characters is about two best friends who are film editors. We work, played by my co-writer, Tariq Lowe, who plays himself, a version of himself named Daryl Wiggins, and then we needed to find a guy to play me, because we were essentially trying to capture the dynamic that Tariq and I have in real life, where we kind of bust each other's balls.
I see.
And I look like Alex, and I'm a little bit like Alex in some regards. And I knew his work from a movie called Beeswax, where he played a kind of a very sweet guy, and then I knew him from Tiny Furniture, where he played a bit of a prick, and I thought, okay, I'm kind of somewhat in between, and he kind of looks like me. And at that point, he wasn't huge yet, and I thought, okay, maybe we can get that guy. And I asked him to Dunham, who was a friend of mine, to reach out to him.
Had you seen Lovers of Hate yet?
I hadn't seen Lovers of Hate, and I still haven't seen Lovers of Hate. It's one of the few Alex Karpovsky movies that have swam through my net, but I do hope to catch it. That went to Sundance, right?
Yeah, it's a really unusual film for him, too, but it was very, very good. I like that film a lot, and it sort of falls in that time frame between Beeswax and Tiny Furniture.
And I got very lucky with him. He's an extraordinary talent, and I don't think we could have cast someone better in that role, and it was such a low budget that it was just like I could cast whoever I wanted to, and he was truly my top choice. I think halfway through writing, I hooked on to the idea of writing a part for him, and no one really ever battled it.
Mm-hmm. And then you cast Sophie Takal, the filmmaker, an actress, as his squeeze?
Almost everyone in the film was someone that I knew personally.
Right.
Sophie I didn't know, and that was the one role we did auditions for, but then Alex had met her at South by Southwest. She just won some award for a film she wrote and directed called Green.
Right.
And she put herself on tape. She was in Argentina. I made a really good audition tape, and then I just cast her off of that. And her and Alex also had a very special chemistry that I thought really worked. It was nice that they kind of knew each other.
Mm-hmm. Also, you could talk about some of the other that pop up throughout.
That is true. I have Ariel Kebble, who's kind of more of a TV star, and I cast her to play a famous actress in the movie, and she has that kind of
lovely
quality, but I'd never really seen her do something that kind of grounded and personal.
Yeah.
And she was really game, I think, to do that. And then Melanie Diaz, like Hamlet 2, and Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, and Raising Victor Vargas, and all these great movies, and
right,
she signed on to play Therese's girlfriend. And
yeah, all the actresses are rather lovely in this film. What a coincidence.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a job I should get.
We try to, you know, cast people who sort of have a natural vibe, and I think the world that you, Adam, and I, we go and cast a lot of sort of realistic people, and not so much a kind of LA looking people. That was nice to have a lot of people like that, and then try to cast Ariel as someone who stood out as being a movie star in that group, you know, which
yeah.
I think worked nice.
Absolutely. we're speaking with filmmaker Dan Schechter. His new film is called Supporting Characters, and it is actually on VOD January 23rd. And it will also be coming out theatrically in New York, anyway, on Friday, the 25th. So where in New York is it playing?
Well, I can give all that information. Yes, it's playing at the Cinema Village, which
okay.
I'm sure you've seen many a friend's film at, and that's really exciting for me. I've never had a film play in New York City before, so I've never really done the on-demand thing either, and that's a major part of it now in a way that it wasn't in 2008 when my mm-hmm. previous film, Goodbye Baby, came out. So I'm interested to see how that works. And it seems like Tribeca, a large part of their pie is the on-demand kind of deal, so we'll see.
Sure, sure. Well, it makes sense, and a lot of people that may not otherwise get to see it, there isn't enough cinema villages in the country at this point. So it is for, I imagine, a filmmaker like yourself, this is a something that you would embrace. When you were becoming a filmmaker, maybe did you ever have it in mind, I wanted the theatrical, and was this in any way a going on demand and through digital platforms? What do you make of that?
Look, I like it. I have no particular ego. A lot of times it seems like the distribution company is really afraid that the filmmaker's going to have to be in as many theaters as possible. But to me, if that eats more money than it makes, it's not worth it. I want to give as big a return to my generous investor as I possibly can, not to mention myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea is they put you in one theater, and then for the on-demand, they could say before in theaters, while in theaters, and then charge sort of incrementally larger amounts of money. And that's sort of part of it, and I think that's great. So, you know, I'm curious to see how it all works.
Well, I hope a lot of people see it. It has a very likable quality to it. It's nice to see kind of a romantic film that, you know, Alex is a very, very compelling actor, especially when he is caught up in the center of a shitstorm, which is basically the case of what's going on here. But it's got a lot of... there's a lot of comedy. And actually, the biggest love affair in the film is between his character, Alex's character, Nick, and Danny, as you said, Tariq, played by Tariq Lowe. Their relationship is sort of the anchor, wouldn't you say, of the film?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I don't think that was necessarily the original idea. We knew that we were funny together and that they would be kind of a cool duo, but I really thought it was going to be much more about relationships and much more romantic comedy in that sense. But in the end, it really became quite a good buddy movie. People, as we were shooting, would just start crowding around the monitor to watch those two guys work together. We kind of,
yeah,
in my humble opinion, captured some lightning in a bottle. It was something I had never experienced before in a movie where I didn't see it coming and it was really working.
So something organic,
I
sort of came about.
Yeah, it really was. And I think Alex kind of saw how me and Tariq would kind of interact in our dynamic, and they just took off from that. So I'm really proud of that part, and it just was so good, it just overpowered the movie in a way that I think works, thankfully.
Well, I was able to, I avoided using the term bromance, but, you know.
Thank you.
And so now you are, not to depart too much from supporting characters, but you're up in Connecticut, and you're working on another subsequent film, or?
Yeah, I'm making a movie that's based on a book by a guy named Elmore Leonard, who's my favorite writer. He does stuff like Get Shorty, Out of Sight, Jackie Brown. Sort of like a four-year mission that's finally paying off, where I took one of his books from the 70s, a 30-year-old book or so, and wrote it on his back and mailed it in, and 4 years later I'm in the production office about to go into production in 3 weeks or so.
Well, that's exciting. So which book is it? Can you mention it? Or?
Yeah, no, of course I can. It's called The Switch. Mm-hmm. We have to change the title of our movie, unfortunately, because Jennifer Aniston's in it, and she was in a movie called The Switch, so right now we're just the untitled Elmore project. But
right.
It, you know, it's completely night and day. It's about 200 times the budget of supporting characters.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, how does that feel now? And I'm sure there's a crew looking to you now. You have probably quite a substantial crew that's on the set there, and they're all looking right at you for guidance and leadership. Not to say they weren't in your prior two films, but it must have grown quite a bit.
It's weird. It's almost the opposite in a strange way. I feel now that when you're doing a micro-budget movie, you really are, as much as you're getting support by all your departments, you really are kind of more of a one-man band, and everyone is looking to you for the leadership. But here, I'm surrounded by so many experienced people that there's sort of a safety mechanism that kind of backs me up. If I don't have an answer, I usually have a crew that's more than capable of answering it for me and doing their own work and making sure a meeting gets scheduled and a song gets completed and a location gets locked. And so suddenly I feel like I don't have to do everything, and I'm not responsible for everything the same way. I'm just responsible for an overall vision mm-hmm. and tone, and I'm constantly trying to bat things in that direction. But usually people start to get a sense of what I want after, you know, a bunch of conversations, and it gets easier and easier.
I suppose, given it's an Elmore Leonard story, that there is a crime that is the backdrop.
Yeah, what Elmore Leonard does that I think is really cool, what I respond to about his work, is he'll take a crime that you've seen a lot of times in movies, whether it's a bank robbery or heist, or in this case a kidnapping, and he likes to make you think what it would be like in real life. How would you handle yourself in that situation? And so suddenly it's a much more grounded point of view on something that's sort of a classic cinematic idea. This movie, I don't want to give too much away, but Jennifer Aniston gets kidnapped, and hopefully it feels a lot more organic and awkward and exciting and scary, and it makes you kind of rethink how you've seen kidnappings through a lot of other movies. Either in farce, it's sort of absurd and funny, or it's like Taken or Ransom, where it's really hardcore, and I think this sort of lands somewhat in between.
Well, the main whoever is the kidnapper, the abductor, you already have a certain amount of sympathy for them because, you know, it's Jennifer Aniston, and really, how can you blame them
for wanting to kidnap, hold on to Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it would hold up in court.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know if it'll even hold off with anybody who heard it, because I kind of thought about it before I said it and still said it. Not that I in any way condone kidnapping. I think it's probably not a good idea.
But, all right, I think that's on the record.
I know. Yeah, it's a controversial thing to say. But, you know, at the same time, it's it makes for a very good Elmer Leonard story.
It does. It's one of my favorite books. I don't think all of his books make particularly exceptional films, but this one and a small handful of remaining ones I think would be quite good. It's a dream project for me. It also has characters that aren't Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown, and that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I know.
I'm sort of a kid in a candy store.
Mm-hmm. So he sort of, I don't know which came out first, but you're saying there are characters that were in Jackie Brown that also resurface in this film, or the other way around?
It's the other way around.
Yeah, okay.
Jackie Brown was based on a book called Rum Punch, which is a bit of a sequel to this book, which is called The Switch, and it has younger versions of the characters portrayed by Robert De Niro and Sam Jackson sort of hustling in 1970s Detroit.
Great. And so was this the first time you adapted a film, a screenplay?
Yeah, it was very irresponsible. I was sort of lectured about it from my reps not to do it, and they weren't entirely wrong. I mean, you don't adapt a book from a best-selling author and assume you're going to get the rights to it, but a tremendous amount of luck went my way. Elmore Leonard didn't know he owned the book rights, and we found the book rights 2 years later, so to them it was found money. By then I'd sort of won them over with my, whatever you want to call it, vision.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, and
probably your enthusiasm.
Yes, I still have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm for it. I mean, I've never once gotten room with an actor and not closed a deal with them because I just love this project so much and I love the actor so much. And that's a really nice thing too about basing something on a book is when I'm bragging about it or loving it, I'm sort of complimenting Elmer Leonard and not myself. So I just look like this fan who loves it, which happens to be the truth.
Well, we're speaking with filmmaker Dan Schechter, and Dan has a new film coming out on demand digitally. And is it also coming out on cable?
I believe on demand and iTunes. It'll be out today.
Very good. So it'll be on cable and as well as on iTunes. And Friday, the 25th, it will be out in theaters in New York anyway at the Cinema Village. So it is distributed, for those who care about who distributes a film these days, but it's being distributed by Tribeca and Tribeca Film. And I myself saw supporting characters last year at Tribeca Film Festival. And was that your first film in Tribeca Film Festival?
No, actually it wasn't.
Okay.
My very first film that I wrote and produced was called The Big Bad Swim. It was directed by a guy named Ishai Seton, and starred Jess Weichler and Padgett Brewster and some other people. And that was my first experience at Tribeca, which was the year 2006, I believe. And it was the best.
Wow. So, because they do have a reputation for being very supportive of their, you know, filmmakers that they have, and I guess.
Well, they weren't with my debut feature. You know, they rejected Goodbye Baby, so maybe it was an inferior film. In fact, I think it was an inferior film. But, you know, you always try to come up with conspiracy theories as to why they didn't choose your movie. But the cool thing, like, getting into Tribeca as opposed to Sundance or South By is that, you know, if you get into one of those festivals, maybe you have, I don't know, you know, six people who come and see the premiere. But in New York, you have all your cast, all your crew, your friends, your family, everybody else's friends and family, and it's a real party.
True. No, it's a wonderful opportunity. It must be, I would assume, to have such a auspicious debut as in a festival in a major city like New York, especially New York. I wish I had been there, by the way. I do remember. I think I could have. I think I had a conflict that night. But I remember also there were two other Karpovsky films, if I'm not mistaken, that he directed in the last year. So it's just like, it's a bit amazing, this productivity of somebody like that.
He had a film at Tribeca that he wrote and directed and starred in, and then another film at Los Angeles with our mutual friend Jennifer Prediger that called Red Flags.
Right.
With Warner as well.
Right, Ray Warner's in it. But I actually, what you may not know is that I shot a scene myself for Red Flag.
That is trivia I was not aware of.
Yeah.
What scene was that?
Ended up on the cutting room floor, I'm afraid.
We
were at a Q&A, and I shot him walking up the aisle leaving. That was it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That didn't work out.
Me too. Me too. I was, you know, I rolled with it, but I was a little disappointed, you know. So I who knows? Maybe one day I'll have another opportunity. Maybe on a Dan Schechter film. Are you?
That would be nice.
Are you right now in production or in full production? You're shooting up there. Is it now, like, how far into the new film are you? And when is production ending for it?
I am 2 weeks into prep now, and I have 3 weeks left, and then we have 5 weeks of production up in Connecticut somewhere. So we'll see how it goes. But right now, it's going incredibly well.
And do you have like other projects like in mind coming up, or are you going to just take a break for a while? How busy are you going to be?
I don't know. This was like my dream project.
Wow.
It truly is literally my dream project. If I could have done anything, it would have been this book with this cast and this budget. So I don't know what's going to happen with my career. I think if I do a good job, I have a really good chance of kind of staying in the game.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see if I can pull that off. No thoughts as to what to do next after this.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Long Island, right outside New York, and always wanted to be a filmmaker. I went to school in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Emerson College, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I wanted to be just a screenwriter until I saw someone else direct something I wrote, and then I'm like, what am I doing this for? The directing is the reward I get for writing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I went out to direct a couple of movies.
And I suppose, you know, you came up as maybe a screenwriter or filmmaker in the time when being able to make a choice like that in a transition or expansion of your, you know, was all the more possible because of you can make the films that are character driven, that are a lower budget nowadays. You can decide just to do that. You don't have to put in 20 years into working for some various other directors for a decade or two before getting a shot.
Well, that was the thing with supporting characters, where my first two films weren't cheap and they weren't easy to do. They were mid, some higher six figures. And then I was so jealous of all these people like Joe Swanberg and Lena Dunham making movies at South By that I was like, I want to go make my personal mumblecore movie.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I want to do what Tiny Furniture did and keep it polished and have it be a little more scripted. And then finally in 2011, I was able to peel off enough money to go do that.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah. And then maybe, though, you can sort of, take some time if that's something that's still attractive to you. You can take the next period of time to do stuff like that, you know?
I think so. I think I would want to go back and do another small movie and not just wait every 3 years to make something larger, even if I was lucky enough to get to be able to do that. I want to make sure I'm constantly producing work, because it feels great to be working.
And so you're based here in New York, I suppose?
Yeah, I live in Manhattan. I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
How long have you been up there?
I lived in Brooklyn for like 3 years. I lived in Bed-Stuy, kind of like right where Jay-Z grew up in the Marcy Projects, and then a nice place opened up on the Upper West Side that was just a little bit out of my price range, but still worth it for me to lose money to live there. So I snagged it up, and now I live by the park and walk my dog in a park every day I get a chance to.
Well, that is really nice. And also maybe it might have motivated you to, you know, create...
make money?
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
So the film is called Supporting Characters, and it stars Alex Karpovsky, Tariq Lowe.
Correct.
Sophia Decal is in it, as we mentioned. Ariel, how do you say, Kebbel?
Mm-hmm.
Do I get that right? Kebbel?
Yeah.
Ariel Kebbel is in it. And hopefully a lot of people will go see it, and that Dan's subsequent film, which is an adapted film, adapted rather from a 1970s Elmer Leonard film, and that I would assume is coming out sometime maybe later this year?
If I'm lucky, later this year, and if I'm still lucky, early next year.
Oh, yeah. You could use the extra time, I guess.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, is it a constant battle in that way, trying to sort of keep a movie in the vision of how you saw it, and then as one does make these mid-sized to larger films, as you're doing, it's a collaboration, I suppose, and the end product, I assume, of your first two features is pretty close approximation to what you had in mind?
Yeah, I would, but I would say I'm much more proud of Supporting Characters. Supporting Characters is the first one I made that I'm really proud to share with people. I think most people's first films aren't great, various reasons. But what's interesting, I think, with this new one is just sort of being less cheap. You know, like I'm being more ambitious. Usually my mind quickly starts to compromise, but here I can kind of insist a little bit more about being ambitious and going for my more expensive idea. And it's a luxury that's almost hard to get used to.
Right. And so you'll be in town. Is there going to be a kind of an opening night coming up?
I think, yeah, Friday the 25th, we should be having a Q&A with Alex Karpovsky, Sophia Takal, and I. And then I think we'll be going out afterwards for some beverages if anybody would care to join.
Okay, I'll make note of that. And that's going to be, you're mentioning it, at the Cinema Village in Manhattan.
That's correct. Yeah, we'd be happy to have you, buddy.
Well, I'll try to make that happen. Well, I really appreciate your coming on, and I hope that next time we can do it in person, and, you know, it'd be great to see you again soon.
All right. Well, thanks very much. I appreciate you doing this interview, man.
Oh, listen, my pleasure, and it's a pleasure, and I can't wait to see the next film, the Elmer Leonard, the unnamed Elmer Leonard, the as-of-yet-named Elmer Leonard project.
Yeah, it'll have some great title, probably. Some mind-blowing great title. But
I think you should just keep it the way it is, my friend. That could work.
I'll put that on the list.
Thank you. And again, thanks for coming on, Dan Schechter. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam.
You're welcome. Turning through the pages, but I don't know what I. Dread is wearing thin. Everything's familiar, but I don't know who I am.
Do you know where you're going?
Don't even know where I've been. Do you know?